Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. That's John 14:2. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans. Joining us today is returning guest, local foster parent Marcia Anderson. Marcia and her husband Ken are parents to three grown biological kids and six children adopted through foster care. Welcome, Marcia.
Thank you. And I just love that verse because I feel like all children need permanency and we all need a place to call home. And that verse just really zeroes in on what foster care is all about.
That's right. Every child deserves a safe, loving home and family. Yeah. So with three biological kids, you added more kids to your family. Why did you and Ken decide to become foster parents?
We decided to become foster parents because I couldn't originally have any more children, and we really wanted a big family. And we decided to just check out the local foster care program, and we took the classes, and not shortly, actually days after we finished the classes, we have our first placement. And as we started to foster, we kind of fell in love with it, and we started to take more kids. And in between all the kids, we adopted six children.
Yeah, so you've been fostering for like 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years, going on 16 years.
Wow, and adopted six of those children.
We've adopted six children.
Wow, so you gave me a heads up on this, so I'll be able to get this right, hopefully. Carly is 19.
Yes.
Charlie is 16.
Yep.
Andrew is 16.
Yes.
Madison is 13.
Yep.
Melissa is 11.
Yes.
And Gabriella is 6.
Yes, she is.
Wow. That's like 1, 2, 3, 4 teenagers at one time.
Yes, it is.
And you're still fostering.
Yes, we are. We foster for St. Catharines.
Okay, St. Catharines. And we hear all the time, you know, from people who don't foster, who we talk to about foster care, a lot of times I hear, yeah, but those kids have issues, don't they? What has been your experience with the issues that you've had to deal with?
Well, that's true. Kids who are adopted through foster care, sometimes even adoptions through other countries, kids have what we call like a trauma history. And when they come into your home, things have been chaotic at their house. There really hasn't been any consistency, sometimes no food. And so when they're at your house, they're going to try the things that work for them at home, and that concludes to be some type of behaviors that are hard to handle sometimes. But as you go along and you learn to foster, you take classes and you learn how to handle those issues. But it does take a lot of patience, but it's definitely worth it. The kids are wonderful. I love fostering. But yes, you have to really be attuned and be willing to be open and be willing to learn all the time and
yeah.
Read different books and learn and continue to learn how to handle it better and better each year.
Yeah, and there are resources out there, and you have to continue to learn.
Yes,
because it's a completely different set of parenting tools to parent children who've experienced trauma.
Yes.
Versus our biological children who have been loved since conception, practically.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Empower to Connect. You attended the Empower to Connect simulcast a few years ago. And last fall, you and Ken participated in our Empower to Connect parent training course.
Yes.
How has Empower to Connect made a difference in your family?
Well, we just loved Empower to Connect. With six different kids adopted through foster care and some of our own birth children, as you can imagine, the house is loud. And before we took Empower to Connect, we did some of the same things that our parents did. We sat them in a chair or sent them upstairs to calm themselves down. And as you learn Empower to Connect, there's so many other different ways of doing it. So I like to say, with these kids, you have to kind of parent through the back door and through the window, not like we did as our, you know, when our parents were young or when we were young. So Empower to Connect really changed the way Ken and I parent in so many different ways. I think one of the big things, Sandra, is that you and Wayne were willing to be open about how you struggled before you took Empower to Connect. And I think that made the class relax. and be able to open up. And it starts off with, what is your parenting style, which I really never thought about. And I really think that reading that whole chapter really, really made me think about, okay, let's step back and see what Ken and I could possibly be doing wrong.
Mm.
If you don't start there, you're not going to go anywhere after that. And so that was really important to us. I really feel like, I mean, each chapter just opened up your mind to think about how much more could we help these kids. Because so many times before the Empowered Connect, we would, you know, I'd take the kids to counseling, and some of it was okay, but, you know, lots of times they'll say, you know, have you tried stickers? And we all know a lot of that stuff doesn't work.
Yeah.
And, you know, before we have a child, Missy, who's really has meltdowns a lot, and I always used to bring her upstairs to her room, and after I took the class, I realized she needs to sit with us because she really can't calm herself down. So all the neat things that Empowered to Connect class taught us really has changed the way we parent a lot. And the way that we now talk to others, and I'm always telling people to listen to Dr. Purvis if you can on YouTube or grab some of her books because it's so good.
Yeah. And that is a big thing. The, you know, we send kids to time out or to their bedroom or
right.
to bed early, figuring, well, you'll calm yourself down, and then you can come back to, you know, to the family, to the dinner table or whatever. But kids with trauma pieces, especially kids who, you know, with fetal alcohol syndrome and different things, they don't have the skills to self-calm, to self-regulate.
Yes.
That's really learned through the parent. And when we send them away, they're not learning anything. They're not learning their lesson.
Right.
That was a lesson that I had to learn as a parent, because for me, you know, with our oldest child that we had adopted, and 15 years ago when we didn't know anything about Empowered to Connect or any of this, you know, we just parented like we parented our biological kids,
right.
not in any way understanding the trauma piece, not okay. even really realizing that the child had experienced trauma. We really had no clue. We just thought that, well, we'll be a family and she'll have parents and we'll,
yep.
you know, love her just like our own and we'll all live happily ever after and
right.
it'll be wonderful. And it, you know, it wasn't. It was hard. And you know, she went to bed early a lot as a consequence and mm-hmm. into her room. And although I got a break, you know, she didn't learn anything from being sent away.
Right, because they disconnect when you send them to their rooms.
Yeah.
I think one big thing we took from that, too, is the piece where we learned that when a child is in a temper tantrum, to first try a drink and a snack first.
Yeah.
We have a little girl, Gabrielle, who was born heroin addicted. And she does go into meltdowns. And when she does, it's really hard to bring her back. And we would have never thought of that. But it works so classically now.
Yeah.
We really don't even have to go on to the next step most of the time. And so I think just little things like that are so amazing in this program.
Yeah, we don't often think of something as simple as just nutrition, a healthy snack and some water every 2 hours will
right.
help a kid be regulated. Because mm-hmm. I know how I get when I'm over hungry or over tired.
Yeah.
I get cranky, you know, I confess. Where that TV commercial, I think it was for the candy bar, they've coined that new term, hangry, you know.
Right.
And that's true. And that's oftentimes what happens to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they just can't regulate. They can't manage themselves. They're falling apart. And really, if they had some that snack and that drink of water, everything kind of can stay on an even keel. It's much more likely to stay on an even keel.
Absolutely.
So for our listeners' benefit, Empowered to Connect is based on the TBRI, and that stands for Trust-Based Relational Intervention model developed by the late Dr. Karen Purvis and her colleagues at Texas Christian University's Institute for Child Development. Dr. Purvis is also the author of the book, The Connected Child, a must-read for every
yes.
foster and adoptive parent. TBRI is taught from a Christian perspective and is available for parents through the Empower to Connect simulcast, which churches and organizations can host for foster and adoptive families. There's the Empower to Connect website with tons of valuable resources. You can find a lot of the video clips on YouTube with Dr. Purvis and others teaching these concepts. And the Empower to Connect parent training course, which my husband Wayne and I are certified to teach here in New York. If you go online to the Empower to Connect website, if you're listening from out of state or from a different state from New York, it lists all the parent trainers by state, and we're the ones in New York State. So through Empower to Connect, you'll gain a better understanding of your child's history, because that absolutely has everything to do with all of that behavior that you're experiencing. What we bring to the parent-child relationship, Marcia, like you mentioned, what's our parenting style? How do we parent? What do we bring to the table? Because we do bring stuff.
Yes. I find you constantly have to keep checking yourself, too.
Absolutely.
And I pull out the books a lot, because before you know it, you're screaming across the room.
Yeah.
When things are out of control and you forget that you need to come up to a child and touch your shoulder and look in their eye and talk to them.
Yeah.
And you have to recheck yourself all the time. And I think as you practice through the years, it's better and better. And
yeah.
And what's important. And
it's living it all the time. I mean, you sound like maybe you were peeking through my window yesterday, because I did not do well with my youngest. I kept telling him to stop doing something. He was sort of tormenting our dog, just in a way, by if he says certain words to the dog, she barks. He likes getting that reaction, you know, but after all afternoon of that, I was very tired of hearing, you know, a barking dog. So I started barking, completely forgetting that, you know, I'm barking at a child who does not have the ability to really respond to that or to just change his behavior and all of a sudden start obeying. I had to correct myself and apologize to him and, you know, redo. I had to do the redo myself because I had not handled it correctly. So it's always going back and looking over the material and watching the videos and looking through the books, because it's, you know, just when you think you got it, you know, something else will creep up, or, you know, different ages, different stages, you know, you might think this is going really good, and then all of a sudden, you know, something's going on with one of the teenagers or whatever. So it's so important to keep yourself immersed in it, really. It also goes over the importance of attachment, the impact of fear, which was something I really did not understand in my early days of parenting my children from hard places. Meeting the child's holistic needs, again, including the nutritional piece and the sensory piece, if you have kids with sensory issues, and many of our children do. So, Marcia, what was one of the greatest things, or the greatest thing you feel like you got from that Empower to Connect training?
Well, I think there were so many neat things that I learned from it. One of the biggest things, though, is I think as parents, especially parents of kids from hard places, I used to lay in bed at night and think about how I could have done things wrong and feeling bad that I hadn't done that right or done that wrong. And I think Dr. Karen Purvis does a great job of, I think she said, as soon as you make a mistake, apologize and reconnect with your child.
Yeah.
And to me, that was one of the biggest things that really helped. At the end of the day, if I had made a mistake or I hadn't said the right thing or done the right thing, that I reconnect with the child. And one of the things that we started here is each night before bed, they come into our room and we talk about how no matter what's happened, we love you. And we didn't do that before.
Mm.
We're so busy such a long day of getting them into bed, and that you forget some of the things that mean so much.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, I think they also offer a lot of the other books as well within the program.
Yeah.
And all of those I keep right next to my bed. There are 6 or 7 of them that were so good. And I just think it's just so vital for any foster parent that's trying to raise especially several different kids together, and to keep the peace in the house down as much as you can and try and handle things quieter and quieter as you learn more and more. That's going to be the biggest piece I took from it.
Yeah, and the connection piece is the most important, because so often we're just exhausted trying to address the behaviors, which lead us to just spend all of our time and energy on correcting behavior that we totally miss the connection piece, which is the most important piece. And that's how I spent my early years of parenting, was just correcting this behavior all the time. And it didn't seem to make a difference, no matter how many consequences or punishments or any of that we issued. That never seemed to make a difference. But when we began using, you know, this high structure, high nurture, focus on connection program, not that you don't discipline or correct, but when you're doing it from that connection piece, you're much more successful, because in the end, no matter what happens, you want to be connected to that child at the end. And that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful. I want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. Our guest today is local foster parent Marcia Anderson. Marcia and her husband Ken are parents to three grown biological kids and six children adopted through foster care. And they continue to foster children. Marcia and Ken participated in the Empowered to Connect parent training last fall, taught by my husband Wayne and myself. Empowered to Connect focuses on principles of empowering, connecting, and correcting with our kids from hard places, which Marcia and I can both testify to, and the hope and healing that comes from this training. You can learn more about Empowered to Connect at their website, empoweredtoconnect.org. To learn more about the Empowered to Connect parent training available locally, you can contact me through our website, justicefororphansny.org. You can even contact me through our Facebook page, Justice for Orphans. Marcia, being the foster and adoptive parent of a child that has suffered trauma such as loss, neglect, abuse, it can be a very lonely place.
Yes.
Where do you and Ken go for support and encouragement?
Well, the biggest blessing that has come into our lives in the last 2 years is a program called Fostering Futures. And like I said before, there's many times at night when I would finally go to bed and feel, number one, lonely, and number two, just feeling like I could have done a better job. And we don't want any of our foster families to feel like that if they don't have to. And the program that we've gotten involved in originally started from Colorado, and it's an idea that's designed where 7 or 8 volunteers are trained and their background checked and on trauma with kids and anything that do with foster care. And they come over to your house to basically surround your family with whatever that you might need. So volunteers come to our home, and they'll either come in and do some homework with the kids, or they'll do some cooking, or they'll take a child out so that child gets individual attention, because we all know from big families that's a tough thing to come by. And they are there. The biggest thing they've been for Ken and I is moral support. And they come in and they see what it's like to try to raise kids that have been hurt in the past, and they've fallen in love with the kids. And that's the idea to the program, is that the volunteers actually end up becoming sort of part of your extended family. And so that has been such a huge change in our lives. And I mean, there was one night before Fostering Futures that I took, I think, 6 kids to the ER with me when I got a baby into care, and sat there all night with all of them. With Fostering Futures, I can have somebody to call that's trained and knows how to handle these kids, so that I don't have to do stuff like that anymore.
Wow.
So I've been speaking to different churches and getting different churches involved. Anybody that's interested can go on the Fostering Futures website, and we've gotten, I think, 18 teams now. And so our dream is that every foster family that's taken on children from hard places has a team to rely on, so they don't feel so isolated.
So Fostering Futures, well, let's talk about that for a few minutes here. The connection is through the church. The volunteers are really sort of recruited from the body of Christ. Tell us how that works.
What happens is Meredith Oster, our director, she'll go in and find different churches, and she also has assistants to help her, different churches that would be interested in helping, you know, children in foster care, and the whole foster system would be interested in helping with kids in that. Because other than Fostering Futures, there's not too many programs that you can actually be involved with foster kids because of who they are and the you know, things that you can't discuss. So that's what they do. They go and go to different churches, find out different churches that would be interested in a program like that. And you don't have to be anybody special. If you just, want to take what you like to do. If you like to cook, you can be on a team and go in and help cook with the foster family and the kids. And that's how they do it. And they've also gotten two workplaces that were kind of involved with mental health issues with kids, and those people from the workplaces actually formed their own team.
Wow.
So that's really kind of how it's kind of spreading around.
How many volunteers make a team?
Usually about 7 or 8. About 7 or 8, but we do have up to 10. Some of the bigger families have up to 10. I mean, one story that was really nice is there was a family in Clifton Park whose mom had passed away, and they had adopted, I believe, 6 or 7 foster kids, and they're still young. And so that family just has such a ball bringing over, you know, nail polishes with the little girls, and it's just such an amazing thing that I would just recommend, you know, recommend anybody checking it out that can't really foster full-time, can't take that on, but would really love to help with foster kids.
Yeah, and that's something we say all the time on this show is not everybody is called to adopt and not everybody is called to foster, but we know from James 1:27, I should know that verse by now, we are all called to do something. We are all called to care, to give care. And this is a wonderful way for the body of Christ to get involved and walk out James 1:27, because just 7 or 8 folks from a church can become a team.
Yeah.
Fostering Futures takes care of all the background checks and that part of the important piece in order to work with foster kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then that team wraps around a foster family. You get assigned to a foster family.
Yes.
And wrap around that foster family and build relationships and have fun, really, is you're doing.
Yes, and I think the biggest thing that we have, Ken and I have learned, is that never, ever try to do this alone. And we tried to do that in the beginning. We had friends that fostered, but we still were trying to handle these kids alone. And one big thing we do now is a post-adoption program too through Northern Rivers, and that's a meeting every month simply just to go over different things that you might face. And to me, that's so important. We have unified services for their counseling and any service providers that you can reach out to. The teachers in our school have done a great job helping us out, and so that's really important that you surround yourself with as much help and respite that you can get, because it is a big thing to take on, and you have to try to be as, you know, mature emotionally. That's why I ask God every day, make me a little more mature emotionally for these kids every day.
Mm. And reach out for the help. We cannot do this alone.
No.
Reach out to all of the providers available.
Yes.
I know self-care and taking breaks is important. And that's one thing that we often all neglect. We put ourselves last. We do it with our biological kids. We put our kids first. We put ourselves last. But even more so with parenting children who've experienced trauma, it's so consuming and so difficult at times that we tend to neglect ourselves. But if we're not taking care of ourselves, then there's going to come a point where we're not going to be able to meet the needs of our children either.
Yes. And when you don't feel good, then you don't tend to be as on your toes with what you've learned.
Right.
So it's really, really important that you take care of yourself.
Yeah. So how could our listeners, if they're interested in bringing Fostering Futures to their church or want to learn more about Fostering Futures so that they could, you know, maybe invite them to their church to share about that, how can our listeners get in contact and get involved?
Yes, there's a Facebook page called Fostering Futures New York, and you can go right on that Facebook page and ask to be a follower, and then you can find information on through that.
All right.
So if you'd really love to volunteer or even check out the program, you can go right on that and find out all the numbers and stuff.
Wonderful. So Facebook, Fostering Futures
New York.
New York. You can learn more and get involved, become part of a team to wrap around a foster family and be that support so that the foster families, in order for them to be successful, adoptive families as well, need support.
Yes.
We can't go it alone. We need to get those all the tools and all the supports that we can possibly get. As we wrap up here today, Marcia, what is on your heart that you'd like our listeners to hear?
I think the biggest thing on my heart is there's many, many children out there who still do not have a home. There's many children on Adopt Us Kids who are still, and usually around 12 to 13 years old, that are still waiting, and some may never see a home. And that's always been my heart for foster care. And that's why I love Fostering Futures and the Power to Connect, because it's giving us tools so that you don't feel nervous about taking on a child from a hard place. And if you learn a lot of these tools and you're involved in groups, then you can take on a child from a hard place and feel like you can do it confidently. So always on my heart, first and foremost, is a child who doesn't have a home yet, whether it's through your local foster care program or a website like Adopt Us Kids, where you can go and get a caseworker to come to your house and, you know, certainly look at your family and see if you could be able to foster adopt, if not support a family that fosters and adopts. And that's really the biggest thing in my heart always, is that a child doesn't go without a home.
That's right. And there are 24,000 kids in New York State
alone
in the foster care system. And that's some of the highest numbers in the country.
It really is. And when people think about fostering, there's all kinds of cliches. And until you actually read about it and learn about it, yes, we could all go on our vacations and not take on extra things, but that's really not what God has asked us to do while we're here.
That's right.
And that's how I feel. And at the end of a long day, this is for God. This is totally for God. This is for Him. And these are His children, too. And they need permanency. And
that's right.
Why we love foster care.
That's right. And if you are interested in becoming a foster parent, you can do that by contacting your county agency. You can also contact one of the other placement agencies, such as St. Catherine's, which Marcia and her family foster through, Northern Rivers, Berkshire Farm. Mm-hmm. There's lots of ways. It doesn't cost you anything financially to become a foster parent, just a heart and time. You don't have to be a perfect parent. If you listen to Marcia and I today, you would have heard that we're not perfect parents. We make mistakes, but we have a heart for these kids. Every child deserves a safe, loving family. And when they're placed in a Christian family, not only do they have the safe, loving family, but they also have the opportunity to come to know Christ.
Yes.
So, Marcia, thank you for your dedication to the children from hard places that are in your home. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yes, you too. And if you would like to learn more about Empower to Connect parent training, go to the empowertoconnect.org website. You can find a parent trainer near you. If you're in New York, you can contact me, Sandra Flack, at sandraflackjfo@gmail.com, and to attend an Empower to Connect parent training. I'm Sandra Flack, and I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, you can find them right on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on Radio Show to find the menu of shows to choose from. And we hope you join us next week for Orphans No More.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.